It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
And on this Friday, here is Paul Feinbaum from the Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays 2 to 6 here on FM Talk 106.5. Good morning, Paul. It's been a very active, entertaining week on your radio show.
Yeah, every couple of minutes I look down at my phone to see if I've been fired and have been given a buyout. But so far, no such luck.
No such luck just yet. And, I mean, this hiring cycle that will be coming up, how often, and I'm going to guess none, have the jobs for LSU, Florida, and Auburn all been open at the same time? I mean, you talk about historic prime college jobs. Football programs that pay a lot of money. What a wild season we're in here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though. Coaches at LSU, the last four at Florida, and the last however many since Shug Jordan have all been fired from Auburn. So, yeah, there's been a lot of openings. What was interesting is, though, a year ago there were no openings in the SEC, so that's why this year in early November getting this many so quickly is unprecedented.
Well, the SEC, I mean, the fact is it's a tough league from top to bottom, and they're just eating themselves. Not everybody can be a 10-win team.
But not everyone can be as inept and as ill-equipped to play a football game as Auburn was last Saturday night either.
That was
so, it's one thing to get fired when you're LSU and you actually have beaten a couple of teams. It's another thing to be. And the hardest part I had for understanding the Auburn situation was why were 88,000 people at that game in the first place?
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, you can get away with a lot. I don't know how long they were planning on keeping Hugh, but to put up 3 points against Kentucky, if that were his first game, they might have let him go.
Yeah, I would have, I don't know, I've never been an AD, but at the end of the game, I would have walked, as soon as Hugh shook hands with the other coach, I said, Hugh, you're being fired right now. Do not even go to the locker room. We will have a box for you at your truck in about 30 minutes.
Paul, I never dove in to find out if this was actually true, but I know some online sleuths, or they may have been some real sleuths, some journalists, that noticed that Freeze had called off a tea time on Sunday afternoon, and that was kind of a tell that he maybe was going to have a meeting instead with the Auburn brass.
Are you kidding me? Is that real?
I saw that on Twitter. I think it's real. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not, but I did talk to a guest the other day who told me that it was about a week or two ago, but on the Friday before a home football game. Now, this is weird. Freeze went to the golf club. He didn't play, but he just likes to watch people play golf. I don't know. It sounds really weird to me, but he'll have fun. I know one thing, in the last 4 or 5 days since he was fired, I imagine he's had plenty of time to go out to the club.
I'm sure he has. Now, somebody who's remained there on campus and with the team, Dalton brought this up earlier today, and I thought, you know, I really haven't given that much thought if DJ Durkin actually will be taken in any way seriously to replace Hugh Freeze. Is there any chance of that?
It could happen. Now, what Durkin absolutely has to do is beat Vanderbilt. If he can pull this game off, then there will be momentum. Remember 3 years ago, Cadillac Williams, I think, beat Mississippi State. Yep. Oh, hey, we got to hire him. I think Durkin's got a chance, and I think if you get some momentum, all of a sudden the administration goes, why get a coaching search? Why spend all this money paying a buyout? Let's just elevate this guy. And you know what they say when nobody can, he can't be any worse than Hugh Freeze.
They say that. And, you know, I guess we can wrap up the Auburn conversation. John Cohen, he's spoken a lot this week, the athletic director. He's saying, hey, this is my decision and my decision alone. Boosters will have no role in this coaching search. But I'm wondering in this day and age, how much of a role Deuce Knight or Cam Coleman will play in the coaching search. It's got to be important to make sure that your top players are considering sticking around. Yeah. Does that seem to be an issue in any of these schools?
It does. But first of all, any athletic director who says, I am the committee, is just idiotic. I mean, first of all, we have, yeah, there may have been a time when you could say, you know, we don't let the boosters involved because that's against NCAA rules. But now the boosters run the program. Mm. So if you're big boosters, and everybody knows who Auburn's big boosters are, call up and say, hey, I want this guy. You're going to say, yes, sir, Mr. Mm-hmm. Rain, whatever you say. Because they give so much money. And so, I don't know. I'm not sure what Cohen was trying to say. I think some people believe it was more of a shot at the freak show that is LSU football right now. Yeah, where you have all these people running around. But I don't believe it. And I'm not in the middle of it, but I do have a lot of experience watching college football.
Before we get to the CFP rankings from last weekend, what are the headlines? Maybe the cocktail party or OU beating Tennessee?
I thought the biggest story was OU beating Tennessee because that ended Tennessee's rather faint playoff hopes. OU survives for another week, and it's just kind of hard to believe that Tennessee's already out of it. Now, the cocktail party was interesting, too, because Georgia just lives on that edge every single week, and I've never seen a more resilient team. Okay, well, they're down by 6 points, they'll win. You never doubt it because the only one time they didn't do that this year, and they probably should have against Alabama.
Yeah, that's right. They were behind quickly there. So Georgia just played as Georgia plays, and it's entertaining the heck out of me. CFP rankings, Paul. Any surprises there?
I thought it was pretty much a waste of time. I was on one of the ESPN shows this week, and I literally had to try to act like I was interested because there was just nothing to it. It was exactly what we thought. And when Mike Greenberg says, Paul Feinbaum, what is your biggest gripe? I mean, I'm going, Mike, I don't really care. But so then you find something to say, well, I think Texas A&M should have been ranked ahead of Indiana. And I know a lot of people are screaming at their radios right now saying it doesn't matter. You are correct. It doesn't matter until the final poll.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ball to be played between now and then. And A&M, I mean, they might have a sneaky one this weekend. They're on the road at Missouri, and maybe Mizzou can put that first dent in the record this year.
Yeah, I mean, Missouri's good. I've been there. I was at a game there 3 weeks ago when Alabama was there.
You're a season ticket holder this year at Missouri, aren't you?
Yeah, I've only been there twice. I've been to Oklahoma twice. And the thing about Missouri is, you know, think of one of your better high school football stadiums in Alabama, and that's the University of Missouri Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, but a great tradition. Great tradition over
constantly,
there.
Absolutely, yeah. It's kind of a construction site, too, like Vandy. Andy was for a few years.
It was.
So CFP rankings, like I say, we talked about them the next day when they came out for about 12 seconds, right?
Yeah.
We were done with that. The big game, of course, LSU at Alabama in the SEC. A lot of intrigue because of the open job at LSU. And what do you see here, Paul?
Let me take you back about 7 or 8 weeks. This was supposed to be the game of the year in college football. I had been told at one time the president of the United States, not just the president, was thinking about coming to the game. Can you imagine somebody going in the White House and, Mr. Trump, are we still on for? No, we're not on for that. are you kidding me? It's really sad because that has been probably for about 15 years the best game of the year in the SEC, and it's still interesting, but not really.
Does LSU have a chance?
I don't think so. And I'm not going to be able to see it anyway since I'm a YouTube customer.
That's what I wanted to ask you. All the ESPN employees who get YouTube TV, I guess you're just flying in the dark right now.
There is a secret way in, but I can't tell you.
Way to flag on the play. Wait a minute now.
But it's pretty fr- I got home Saturday night from Austin, and my wife says, do you have any idea why we don't get ESPN? I said, yeah, I do understand that. But it's a big deal. I mean, I hear more complaints about that than anything else. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, you got these two, you know, trillion-dollar companies who can't figure out how to help the consumer.
Yeah, and we heard it all week. I know you've been hearing it all week on the Paul Feinbaum show. I wish Freeze were around for one more week because his presser this week, they'd ask him about Vanderbilt. He'd say, you know, I haven't seen any film. I don't have any on YouTube TV.
I've got no idea. It's like, There were weeks where Hugh Freeze almost would say, oh, is that who we have this week? Is it Vandy? Yeah.
So,
by the way, did you guys hear the story? We had a guest on the other day said that, now, again, take this for what it's worth, but it said that Tommy Tuberville told Hugh Freeze a year ago that he understood that Diego Pavia was interested in going to Auburn. Hmm. And Freeze said, we're pretty happy with Jackson Arnold. Mm-hmm. So once again, or this may have been 2 years ago, it was two years ago. Don't ask me how Tuberville got in the middle of that, but he seems to be in the middle of everything these days.
Yeah.
And that's great. but the point is that, that Freeze has just passed on a couple of, he passed on another quarterback. I can't remember which one it was, but, Cam Ward, 2 years ago was Cam Ward. Then he passed on Diego Pavia. And that's why he's at the golf course today.
I mean, when you're sold as a QB evaluator and a QB magician, and you go with Peyton Thorne and Jackson Arnold, and when those were apparently options, I mean, that's damning for anybody.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you think, quickly before we leave? I mean, Tennessee fans having a little bit of a freak out. You know, before the season, they'd say the projections mostly had them as a 4-3 loss team, and that's basically where they stand right now. But after seeing Heupel underperform this time at home, some Tennessee fans seem to want him out for some reason. And I've seen that go poorly so many times before. Is that just the crazy fans thinking that, or is there more to it?
I think a part of it is that last year, even though Tennessee went to the playoffs, it just felt empty, especially the way that season ended. You know, I got an idea. I think Heupel's okay, but what if we fire Heupel and think about this? Hire Lane Kiffin back at Tennessee. Would that be a good story?
I mean, it just seems so unrealistic. Is that a school you think Lane would go back to?
I think he would have some fun with it, but no, I don't think he would go there.
Well, everyone's keeping an eye on the Lane train, that's for sure. Paul, thanks for your time again this morning, and we appreciate the conversation. We'll talk in a week.
Always my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right. Paul Finebaum, apparently, like me, using the Fubo free trial to watch some of these games. By the way,
he said there's a trick to it, though. There's an insider inside the ESPN
it's
machine.
Called, they give you a login. That's what it's called. You work for ESPN. That's the secret. And by the way, everyone who says, I've left YouTube TV and ESPN, I'm on Fubo now, Disney owns 70% of Fubo.
So, they do?
Yeah, just as an FYI.
Oh, wow.
And more Mobile Mornings on the way. Thanks again to Bryant Bank for bringing us Football Fridays with Finebaum. And we're coming back, 251-343-0106.
Welcoming in the weekend with a little rain here out of the blue, out of the gray skies, actually. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Pretty amazing, these scams that go on. Talking to someone yesterday who had a scam, had him pretty shook up.
About worked, huh? The scam almost worked.
It didn't, he was on the phone a long time because the scammer identified himself as Muskogee County sergeant, whatever, somebody. There was a police radio in the background, so it sounded all legit.
Yeah.
They had information on him that was down to the T as far as...
Correct info.
Correct info about who he was, where he lived, where he was born, and all this stuff. And they were trying to convince him that he had missed court appointments, and he was in trouble over it. And he was... You know, here's one. They applied the pressure to the point where now you're wondering, is this all real?
Yeah.
And then they give you, at the very end, they kind of give you an out, like, well, you can do all that, or we could settle it this way if you want, and that's the expensive way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want to get into how many thousands of dollars they were asking for, but anyway, he figured it out, but a lot of people, it turns out, do not figure it out until it's way too late.
Yeah, and I had a story pulled from earlier this week, and it was Fox 10 actually that posted it, but it was about AI and how it's being used in scams these days. And you know, and I've talked, I mean, everybody has a story, right? Or a story with someone closely that they know who either was or was almost scammed. And
you know, these criminals, they obviously are pretty smart and have been for some time, so they've been pulling these scams for a while, but it looks like they're making even more money on it now because technology has improved to the point where it's easier to fool people, and they're using AI for this. And Fox 10, actually, it's their sister station, WBRC, out of Birmingham, who had this story about this these great-grandparents, and they got a phone call, and the wife picked it up, and it was a great-grandson's voice on the line who said he had had a broken nose and was bleeding, but it was his voice. They used AI. I'm not sure how they captured his voice to use it to put on AI. I imagine you and I would be pretty easy to pull us and use fake AI. But so it's her great-grandson she thought she was talking to, said he was involved in a car wreck and that the police were taking him to jail. And he was saying, you know, I don't want to be in jail. Tell Pawpaw to pay whatever and get me out and I'll pay him back. They were asking for more than $11,000 in bail money. And it turned out it was all a scam. They eventually found their great-grandson, who believed scammers used AI to clone his voice. And it doesn't say here whether they paid out. I sure hope they didn't. But this is happening to more and more people. And with AI being able to mimic voices pretty realistically, they're getting the elderly, especially with this. But I don't think there's – I think the elderly are more likely to fall for things like this and be scammed. And I was watching this great show, and I believe it's still on, and I cannot remember her name, but she – it's on Nat Geo, and she dives into, like, the criminal underworld and goes into some really scary places. She does, like, fentanyl episodes, gun-running episodes.
It's ringing a bell.
Even human trafficking she dove in on. It's like, I'll have to look it up and tell you, but she did one on the scam calls coming from, I guess, the Caribbean. And elderly, they love to go after because sometimes they're lonely, and they can talk them into being a friend. I mean, there's variations of the scam they can use, but it gets people of all ages. And I know people my age and even younger have come close to falling for it, and it's adding up. I know the number for how much money is scammed from Americans goes up year over year. Last year, they said it jumped by about 25%, and these are best estimates, and they're pretty loose estimates, but they're thinking Americans are getting scammed, whether it's phone, email, or text, to the tune of between $12 and $25 billion per year coming out of American wallets and scams.
And you always hear those after these scams have been reported. You always hear, again, we will never call you and ask you. Like, it's almost any government agency or any law enforcement agency says, we'll never do that over the phone. That's not the way we operate. And somehow that information, I mean, is it everybody? Nobody ever does that over the phone. But if you keep that in mind, and if the text things are maddening, because a lot of those are like from, they appear to be from a state you traveled in and you didn't pay a fine.
Oh, they got me immediately after one of our trips. Actually, we went to Florida twice this year, and both times, right when we get back home, I'm getting these texts saying payments overdue and this and that.
The Sunshine Parkway or something like that, right?
Yeah. So it's sophisticated. You can't just trust but verify. You have to verify, and never trust, basically.
Amen. 8:30, Dan and Dalton, good morning. What's going on, Dan and Dalton? FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. A little rain on your windshield this morning.
That's what that is. Third time's a charm.
And maybe another little rain event on Saturday night as this cold front rolls on in here and changes everything for a few days. More on that as we go along here today. It's 8:35.
It could be in the 20s when we start our broadcast on Tuesday morning.
I know.
Downtown.
And Monday's going to be no picnic either.
No.
So we're going to have a couple of cold days in a row to start the weekend. By Wednesday, it'll be about 70 degrees. Go blank and figure.
Yeah, well, it'll be warming up on Tuesday, too, throughout the day, which is good news for the parades that are going on, but also great news for an event coming up at Topgolf. And in to discuss that with us, George Spurlock of Presley Roofing. And he came in to talk with us not long ago about the South Alabama Home Building Academy, a great project that's in the works here. And, George, thanks for coming in with us today.
Oh, it's great to be here again. Thank you all.
George, let's hit on this academy again real quick. Explain what it is. Explain the I know it's the template was from Birmingham or Huntsville.
Huntsville, yeah.
And you're excited because it's starting to make an impact down here.
That's right.
Talk about that, and then we'll get to the event.
So it's really the brainchild of the Home Builders Association of Metro Mobile here, who had seen what they were doing in Huntsville at the North Alabama Home Building Academy, and just saw the success they had. They've graduated over 600 students in 5.5 years.
Wow.
Have a 90%+ retention rate in the trade that they studied at the academy.
That seems like an incredible number.
It really does.
Well, and it's because people are very serious about changing their career. Even though we have a starting age at 17 years and older, up in Huntsville, their average student age is 30 years old. So you're looking at people that have a career that they're not satisfied with. Maybe they want to make a change. They've always wanted to go into the trades. The trades are becoming more and more attractive now. Now that people are saying AI is taking jobs or whatever's happening.
Yeah.
And so we have a critical shortage. We've had a critical shortage. And so this, for us down here, we feel like we're playing catch up. We're a few years behind.
Yeah, so the home builders, the businesses themselves, the people that run these businesses, they're at a deficit in terms of the personnel and the people on the ground. So this feeds right into them.
Right.
And so it's a win-win. Somebody's going to secure their future in a way.
Yeah.
And that really hits me about all those folks who are midstream that are graduating the academy up in Huntsville, 30 and older.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we talked about last time that the average age, and it's shocking, the average age of a person in the trades now is in the upper 50s, like 58 years old.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I just turned 60, and so it's hard for me to imagine that the average person doing the trades these days, that average age is right there at my age.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like I'm getting towards the sunset of my career.
Yeah.
But one of the things that makes this just really special for us that are involved with it at the genesis of it down here in South Alabama is, number one, if they are eligible to work in the United States, they're 17 years or older, and they pass a drug screen, they're scholarshiped in.
Yeah.
There is no cost for them. And not only that, when we do the job fair at the end of when they graduate, if they land a job as a result of the job fair, we're going to give them their first set of tools to go on the job.
That's amazing.
Right. So they're going to go on the job not being completely clueless, because that's what's happening a lot in the trades.
Hmm.
We're so desperate for people that we're grabbing people, somebody's uncle, nephew or whatever, and we're going to train them day one and they know nothing.
They're being trained on the job, which is not the best practice. Right.
So when they leave our academy, they're going to know how to read a tape. They're going to know how to handle many of the power tools that many of them will never lay their hands on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to go with the basic skills. Now, they're not going to be an expert. They're going to be a novice, but they will not be completely clueless, because we're going to try to replicate the on-the-job site kind of scenario as best we can. And you think about it, if we're able to offer a nighttime, so you're working your retail or whatever job that you're trying to get out of, that career you're trying to change, you can work it during the day, 5:30 to 8:30, Tuesdays and Thursdays, two nights a week, you can really, create a new future for yourself.
Yeah, and I love that just from the point of view of the student, the person who wants to make a career shift or whatever it may be that brings them to the South Alabama Home Building Academy, if you have a proper head on your shoulders, you've got to be looking at that as nothing but great opportunity, because, you ought to be able to get hired if you have these certain skills and you're willing to put the work in.
Yeah, and that's why we have such a good retention rate historically, is because people that come to the academy are serious about making a change.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to have that element. Maybe it's the younger element or somebody that thinks that, I just want to learn how to flip a house. This is not for them.
Hmm.
This is for, if you're going to get into electrical, you're serious about becoming an electrical apprentice or journeyman, whatever, and maybe you want to open your own business at some point, you want to build a career as an electrician, that's what we provide you with the basics there.
We're talking with George Spurlock. He's with Presley Roof, and we're talking about South Alabama Home Building Academy, and they have an event coming up, but as far as the academy goes, so really kind of five, categories, right? Like you've got, so HVAC, mm-hmm. roofing, electrical, is it plumbing?
Uh-huh.
What am I missing?
There's carpentry.
Carpentry, okay.
Yep.
And a lot of people, they hobby in these things.
Right.
and they've been thinking for years, man, I could do this, you know, every day and I wouldn't hate it. Right. And so they can jump into whatever kind of suits them there. And I'm at, what's kind of the response been since you started laying this out that this class is coming up?
Incredible, to be honest with you. Those of us, there's four of us on the board, and we have two special advisors to the board. And we've been emotionally affected by the outpouring of support. We've literally had no negative feedback.
Wow.
From whether it's our civic leaders, whether it's folks like yourselves, when we're talking to our warm market, our friends, our family, the people we go to church with, the people we work with, you know, everyone is like eyes wide open, like, yeah, wow, this is really incredible.
Yeah.
And there are other things being done in Baldwin County and other places, trade training, but to do this at this scale, we feel like what's going to happen is going into 2026, so January 8th is our first class. Every 10 weeks, we will start a new class.
Okay.
We feel like that this is going to go at such a rate that we will end up adding what they did in Huntsville, which will be an accelerated course, a daytime course, mm-hmm, for people who that schedule makes sense. Because I think we're going to have a waiting list that'll be too long, mm-hmm, for people to not want to wait 10 more weeks before they can get into the class.
So for all these different skills, where do you find the instructors? Who are the people that are teaching them?
It's people that are doing the job. We want people. If a person is newly retired, great. They've got the skill set and the experience. You know, they got to have the moxie to be able to relate to people.
Sure.
To want to help people and be patient with people who have, in many cases, no idea about the field which they've decided to get, mm-hmm, into. Mm. And so that would be me if I decided to go through the academy in HVAC. I would have no clue where to start. So we get people who are in the, and we're building our instructor base right now.
Okay.
We're still looking for a few, but it's people who are doing the job and people who have a passion for it. Some of our corporate sponsors, our trade sponsors, are actually sending some of their top people to be our instructors.
Yeah.
Because it's a win-win, you know, it's a give and take. They're giving back and they're getting a lot in return.
Well, and these instructors, I'm sure they know what they're doing. If you need anyone up there to show the class how to not do it, I'd be willing to come there. I might get injured, but I'll do it for the team.
Yes,
so let's talk about this event you have, mm-hmm, coming up on Tuesday. And it's at Topgolf, which I know. And love Topgolf, so it's a great place to have a get-together. What is it all about Tuesday?
It's really, so the Home Builders Association here in Metro Mobile, is they're putting on the event for Saha. And what we're really going to be doing is, it's an opportunity for us to thank some of the people that are helping us get it off the ground. We mentioned to you last time Goodwill of Gulf Coast.
Mm-hmm. They have big donation with the facility,
with,
right?
The facility. It's a 15,000 square foot of facility that is beautiful. I mean, it'll be a gold standard for what many home builders associations across the country are actually looking to us and to Huntsville to try to replicate it. So,
sure.
So we hope to set a gold standard. So we want to bring all of the folks that would help us, you know, kind of bring this out of the ground. Our prospective students, anybody who's interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
From any perspective, maybe you're a company owner and you're thinking, maybe I want to get involved with this and provide materials. We have various companies that are donating materials, mm-hmm, for us to use simply as their way to really, you know, hold our hands with it.
Yeah,
you know?
And in the end, I think they see the benefit themselves, right? The companies are like, in the end, we're going to win.
Yes. Yes, this is really by contractors for contractors,
yep,
if you want to know. So we've got 20 bays for golf,
nice,
on the bottom floor. We're going to have food available. We will have some media coverage there. Like I said, some of our civic leaders will be there. We're hoping, I'm going to name drop here, we hope that Congressman Barry Moore will be there, unless he's called to Washington for a vote.
Yeah.
I hope he actually is.
Yeah.
You know. But... You know, we have such support here with the city and the county that we just want to introduce this to everybody on a formal basis.
They'll, yeah,
introduce the board, and we might have a surprise MC. And so it's just a great event to kick this off.
Sounds
so
great.
Yeah, either way, if you're a prospective student or someone involved in the industry that wants to possibly get involved, Tuesday's the night for you to get down to Topgolf. 5:30 is when this all starts, and that's when people can get by. And,
yes.
And like, so if somebody's really interested in signing up for the class, like they want to sign up now, can they do that Tuesday, or is there a different way they need to do
that?
They
will be able to do it Tuesday, but we also recommend in the meantime to go to our website, gobuildmobile.org. You can see some videos there, all the information's there. You can actually sign up for one of our information sessions, and I think we actually have an information session on Monday.
Okay.
at the facility, at the academy there at Goodwill.
Remind me where that is, by the way.
You know, you asked me really quick there. I'll have to get you that address.
Yeah, we'll put it out there.
Because I always forget the address. I think it's a Gordon Smith Drive.
Gordon Smith Drive, okay.
Yeah, we'll get that address and put it out there. And I like the idea of having this at Topgolf. You ought to be able to tell who can drive a good nail. If they're hitting the ball pretty well, they ought to be able to drive a nail.
It's a good start anyway. Hey, look, we want everybody to have a great time. You know, it's going to be a very casual event. But we just... generating the excitement, it's really organically growing, and so we want to just kind of keep that momentum going. We have a lot going on with the city council here, and we're meeting with the county commissioners next week, and so now that the elections are done and people are kind of getting their footing in place,
for sure,
we still have a lot of work to do.
I'm sure. So South Alabama Home Building Academy, first classes start January 8th. Great opportunity Tuesday night at Topgolf if you want to learn more about it at 5:30. George Spurlock with Presley Roofing, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this.
I appreciate y'all's willingness to help us get the word out. It's made a big difference. I hear from people all the time that are saying that they heard us on the station.
Yeah, well, we're excited for you, and I think that's evident as well. I mean, we are excited about this whole thing.
Yeah, and let's keep this up. I'd love to know how this first class, as we work through 2026, how everything's going, so we'll have you back on.
Yeah, our plan is to come in as regular as I can to kind of keep you updated.
Awesome. Thanks, George. George Spurlock, FM Talk. Hang on a second. I turned everybody's microphone down, including mine. That's not going to work. It's 8:47. Got a little rugby going on at the Battleship this weekend.
This weekend, yeah. Right. Talk about it on the way.
More on that is straight ahead with Dan and Dalton.
This information update brought to you by CPC Office Technologies. All things copiers, all things service, CPC Office Technologies, cpctech.com. Phone 251-300-2695. FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect partly cloudy skies today with a few showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Highs will be in the upper 70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a few evening showers, lows in the lower 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs around 80 degrees. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:52 on Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. And here in a second, we're going to talk to your buddy Dan Sellers.
That's right. Battleship Rugby Invitational this weekend at USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park. And they've been doing this for years. And at the Battleship, Dan, good morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
Morning, gents.
So,
the
sport of rugby. 46
years now. This will be the 46th annual Invitational Tournament.
Wow. How many Americans knew about rugby 46 years ago? Not many.
Lord. Less than they are now.
Yeah, but it's growing. It's kind of growing in popularity along with some of these other sports we're not so used to around here. But
lacrosse.
Dan, like lacrosse, mm-hmm. Yeah. But rugby, for the uninitiated, it's a heck of a sport, right? I mean, a violent sport, a fun sport, takes elite athleticism, even if some of the bodies don't look so elite athletically. It sounds like it'll be a good time this weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's... I tell people football was my first love and ended that in high school. Went to play rugby in college, and rugby was my true love. So,
hey, great. Hey, Dan, how many teams are we talking about will participate this weekend?
So it's a bit of an odd year. Usually we're looking at somewhere between 20 and 30 teams. This year I think we're only going to have about 15, and that's due to a couple different factors. New Orleans is still running their fall cup. So the way it works is New Orleans has a professional team now, and they've got about three or four feeder teams that are amateur league, kind of the same level as Battleship.
Yeah.
So they, in the spirit of metal sharpening metal and competition, they have a New Orleans-only bragging rights cup every fall called the Markell Cup, and it ran a little long this year. So those guys aren't going to be with us. And then the state of Alabama actually has an all-star team that is new. That's the ARA, Alabama Rugby Association team, and they've basically poached some of the best players from Birmingham, Huntsville, and Montgomery, and us, and they're entering a team. So Huntsville and some of the other teams aren't going to be there this year, but still, 15 rugby teams, that's a lot of rugby.
Yeah, and it sounds like a really great opportunity for someone who hasn't watched. I mean, I've never seen a live match. I've seen it on TV. I know New Zealand's pretty good at this thing, but it'd be a great opportunity to catch this. But more than that, I mean, a beautiful weekend and at Battleship Memorial Park, even if you're just going out to watch for the first time, it should be good. And this is happening tomorrow and Sunday. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. The first match is going to be on Saturday. So tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Okay.
They do round robin play. And like I said, there's 14 to 15 teams. I know there's at least four women's teams, four old boys teams, and six men's teams. And the way old boys works is it's 35 and up.
So old.
Pensacola's going to be there. I know. So Pensacola, I like their old boys team name. So Pensacola's the Aviators.
Okay, that makes sense.
Their old boys team is called the Fat Alberts. I thought that was awesome.
That's pretty good. That's awesome. So, you have women's teams, too. You have women's teams, too. And I know I used to, when I was going to South, I know that I think South had a women's rugby team. It's pretty popular among the ladies, this sport.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a very strong women's rugby community down here. They're more organized than the men half the time. I mean, no surprise there. But, yeah, we'll have at least four teams there. I know Pensacola, like I said, Pensacola, our club, I think one of the college, Florida State sending something like 60 guys, so they're going to be there.
Jeez.
If you'll pardon the expression in rugby, we call it pouring out. So they'll have their two teams, and then they'll have guys that are just like, hey, who needs an extra? And they'll jump on with Battleship or jump on with, you know,
so
Pensacola, whenever the
is Battleship
teams that need an extra player.
Is Battleship the name? What are the Mobile's team's names? What are our team names?
Yes. So we are Battleship Rugby. Okay. Young man named Jim Andrews started Mobile Rugby Club back in the early 70s. I want to say by 78, 75, they decided to start having the matches at the Battleship Memorial Park and changed the name to Battleship Rugby.
Okay.
And it's really cool, actually, because especially over the last 10 years with the popularity of social media, around the nation, our field here in Mobile at Battleship Memorial Park has become one of the most popular venues to watch or play a rugby match in the world.
It's
our field because of the battleship in the background.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had a concert down there one time, and we thought, why didn't we ever think of this before? It's incredible. But the battle, something we just to take for granted, Dan, is considered like mind-blowing to a lot of people around the world.
Makes quite the rugby pitch.
At $5 to park, and then you can watch for free, correct?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. And, you know, bring folding chairs, bring an ice chest, bring the kids out, bring the dogs out.
Yeah.
I know some years they have a car show. I don't know if that one's going to line up this year. But there's going to be vendors out there. I know there's going to be one vendor that they do the ice baths,
okay,
like the cold plunges. They'll be out there with the ice baths under the tent if you want to go try that out.
Why not? I guess it'll be warm.
I can give
tomorrow.
You about a million and a half
really
reasons
fun,
why not.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, thanks for your time.
Saturday, 9 a.m. and Sunday at 11 for the playoffs. I hope we see y'all out there, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Dan.
I hope to make my way out there. Dan Sellers with Battleship Rugby. That's tomorrow and Sunday at Battleship Memorial Park. Jeff Porcho on the way. Todd Stacey, Caroline Dobson, Chris Elliott on his guest list. And we'll try this again on Monday. How's that sound?
We'll give it a shot on a cold Monday morning.